Welcome to COTK Online. It is great to be with you today. I get to say this for the first time on camera. Merry Christmas. I love this season, and we are starting a brand new series called Home for Christmas. So I hope that you join us for the next 3 weeks as we look at what that really means, like home for Christmas. Because this season is more than just football and hot wassail and hot chocolate and Christmas carols and presents, even family. This season should be us celebrating the truth that God knows us and He loves us and He has a place for us. By the way, that's more than just geographical. I think geography is important and God's concerned with where we are physically, but He's mostly concerned with where we are in our heart and that we recognize where He has been so that we can be in the place that He has for us. And that's what this series is about, Home for Christmas. So I hope that you can join me as we dive into the Christmas story for the first 2 weeks, and then the third week as well, but it's going to be a little unique. So let's go ahead and take a look at Luke chapter 1. Here we go. We're diving right into the Christmas story. And the title of this series is Home for Christmas, but today it's all about a place of hope. So actually, before we read the first part of Luke, let me explain where the nation of Israel was at this time. They were living in their homeland, but they were occupied. They were oppressed. The Roman government, Rome was a totalitarian regime that was ruled by Caesar. And life in Roman colonies or Roman territories that they had control in, life was allowed to go on as normal for the most part. They were allowed to express their own version of religion. The Jews at this time were serving the God of the Bible, the God of Israel and Judaism. But Rome placed a heavy burden of tax on them and a very restrictive society. So while they had a modicum of freedom, they also felt as if they were oppressed and enslaved. And in fact, they were. And it was at this time, now remember, the prophets had been quiet for 400 years. God hadn't spoken to His people in over 400 years. There had been no prophetic voice. And we see His people now crying out to Him because of the oppression of Rome. But they felt isolated and alone. Many of them were crying, "Where is God?" because He had been so silent. The scripture had been ended, and now we see a whole new chapter where God is reaching out to His people who are crying out to Him. They're crying out for the homeland that He gave them, but really mostly for a home. And so here is where we see Luke, second of the Gospels. And this is what he says, starting with verse 5. He says, "When Herod was king in Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron." So he's a priest. His wife comes from a priestly line as well, and says, "Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations." Now, we're going to come back to that verse because it's very important. It's key that they were righteous in God's eyes, and they were careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. "They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old." So, they don't have any kids. At this time in history, that was considered a huge stigma. Even in the Israelites, even in Judaism, that was looked upon culturally as like, "What'd you do wrong? What's the matter with you? How come you don't have an heir? You know, God promised Abraham that his descendants would be like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the sky, and you're from his line, but you don't have any kids. What's the problem?" So this was a stigma upon this priest in Zechariah and especially his wife, Elizabeth, because often the blame was placed on the women for no children. And here they are, he's serving as a priest, and they were both very old. One day, in verse 8, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. And as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. This was a great honor. This was a great honor. In fact, even though it was by lot, most priests, at most, that lot was, that fell to them twice in their lifetime. Maybe just once, maybe not at all. This was a huge honor. And while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And when Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. That's interesting because here we have a priest who's very old, a priest who has no children. And he's going into the most holy place to burn incense on the altar of God. This is a huge honor. And while he's there, an angel of the Lord appears to him. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." He's old. He has no kids. His wife's old. It's just them. What do you think his prayer was? I wonder. We'll read on. "Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John." So here's the first thing that I want you to get. There's a place of hope for all of us, for each generation. There is hope. For those who are old and feel like there's nobody to carry on their legacy, to feel like what they've done hasn't made a difference, to feel like there's no sense of family, no sense of what they've left behind, nobody to carry their mantle, to leave a legacy to. There is a place of hope for each generation, for the older generation. If you're older and you're listening to me, here's what I want you to know. That God's not done with you yet. He has a purpose and a plan, and he also has a people to carry on the legacy and the thing that he wants to do in you, but you've got to be willing. For each generation, for the younger generation, you've got to know that God has called you in your womb. Psalms 139, he knit you together in his mother's womb. He has a purpose and a plan for you. Before you were ever born, you were the dream of God that he knew would one day be fulfilled. There is a call on your life. There is a place of hope. This Christmas season is about us recognizing that God has a home for each of us, regardless of where we are. Because there is hope for every season of life and for every generation. I want you to know that. God has heard your prayer. So here's what I want you to know, that disappointment is a part of life. It just is. I don't like it. Nobody likes to be disappointed. But here's the reality. Disappointment comes to all of us. How we deal with it will determine whether or not God can use us in the future. Now remember, disappointment is always surrounding the present and looking backwards at the past, as well as looking with hopelessness to the future. But when we are in the place where everything that we look at is through the lens of God's righteousness, that means that we know that God is right in what he is doing. We may not like where we are, but we have a hope for the future because we are right with God and where we are right now. Okay, why is this important? Because Zechariah and Elizabeth were able to look at where they were, childless and old. Nobody to take care of them when they're old. Nobody to leave a name to, a legacy to. And look at what it says in verse 6. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. You can deal with disappointment. And if you deal with it biblically, you know that God's right and you end up righteous. But if you don't, and you allow your disappointment to delude your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, you are going to be at the place, not of righteousness, but of resentful. Have you ever met resentful people? This Christmas, I want you to take stock of where you are. And if it is not what God, what you thought God had in store for you, I want you to know that God's not done with you yet. And there is hope and there is deliverance from you from where you are. This is the Christmas story. This is the coming of the Son of God, of Jesus, of his birth that we celebrate in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Wow. You have to know there's hope for you right where you are for each generation. The next thing you've got to know is there's a place of hope where God's plan becomes our reality. God's plan becomes our reality. So often we go, oh my gosh, I'm so surprised. Oh my goodness, God, I can't believe this happened. But when something good comes into your life and you know that it's part of God's plan, He planned that long ago before the foundation of the earth. We just have to recognize that when we stay in the place that He has for us, in our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and yes, even geographically, I'm not supposed to leave Lake Charles. You know, I know where God has me right now, I don't have any plans of moving. Sometimes I think about that. Don't you, though? Like, wouldn't it be great if I lived in Estes Park, Colorado? See, we can all fantasize about where we'd like to be, but that's geographically, but also heart, mind, and spirit, and soul. And we need to take stock of that, because the goal is not for my what shouldn't be, for my will to be fulfilled, but to know that God has a plan for me and for you. And when it looks like the plan is falling apart, or there is no plan, or the plan is for my misery, to know that God has a home and a place for me. And in that is hope. See, hope and optimism differ. Optimism looks at your current circumstances and say, I think it's going to be better. Biblical hope is based on the truth that God is at work. And even if I don't see what I know He's whispered to me in my lifetime, those around me will reap that, maybe the generations to come. But here's what I want us to get. Where God's plan becomes our reality, this is the hope of Christmas. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, their reality was, we're childless. But because they did not let the disappointment, the disillusionment to set in, because they don't have kids, they don't have anything to leave a legacy, any person to leave it to, they were righteous in God's eyes. They weren't resentful. And God's plan was able to become a reality in them because they were in the place in their heart, soul, mind, and spirit where God could use them. That's a lesson. This is a lesson about Christmas. Because let me just remind you, actually I didn't say it, so maybe some of you don't even know. The child that the angel told Zechariah he was going to have, name him John. It was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the one who proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior for the world, that for millennia, for a millennia, the Jews had been looking for and waiting for God's deliverance for them. So, God has heard your prayer. Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Wow, that's huge. God's plan becomes our reality when we hold on to His hope. And He answers our prayers, usually not in the way that we think or the time. Here's the third thing. A place of hope is where faith lives. They prayed those prayers in faith, believing that God would hear, and He did. Zechariah, though, here's what's in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen?" Remember, the angel had said, "Hey, you're gonna have a son. Name him John." Now, take stock of where this is taking place. Zechariah has received an unbelievable honor in going into the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of the Lord. This is a very rare occurrence for any priest, once, maybe twice in a lifetime. While he's in there and a large crowd is waiting outside for him to come out and bless them and pray over them, while he's in there, an angel shows up. He freaks out. The angel says, "Whoa, hold on. Don't freak out. Don't be afraid. Zechariah, what you've been praying for, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. Name him John." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is well along in years." So a place of hope is where faith lives. Have you ever had doubts? Has God ever spoken to you? And you've ever had a doubt about that? Because this is what happens. He's in the most holy place in the entire nation of Israel, in an honor as a priest to burn incense on that altar. An angel shows up. Don't freak out, Zechariah. Don't freak out. God's heard your prayers. You're going to have a son. Name him John. And his response isn't, thank you, God. Thank you, God. His response is, how can I be sure that this is going to happen? This is crazy. As I read this story, I'm like, seriously? Bro, you're in like the Holy of Holies. Like, you have this unbelievable honor bestowed on you by chance. No, let me just tell you, with God, there is no chance. There's no happenstance. There's no luck. There is simply the hand of God in your life. Nothing happens by accident with him. So when Zechariah says, how can this happen? The angel takes offense. It just does. How do we know that? Because this is what the angel says. Gosh, I love it. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and it was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Gabriel hit the mute button on Zechariah because he was lacking faith. He had hope, but he also had doubts. One of my favorite songs in the whole world, it's a song by Switchfoot. John Foreman's the songwriter. And in one of his songs, he says, doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. What do you believe about the place that God has for you? All of history throughout in all society today is divided. BC and AD. BCE and ACE now in the academic world, which is before the Christian era and after the Christian era. Doesn't matter if it's BC, AD, it's still the turning point of history is the coming of Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's recognizing that Jesus, the Savior, has arisen. He's arrived. Do you know that God has a place for you? Are you home in his home for Christmas? He has a place of hope for you, for each generation, for everyone, for whatever you are. God has a place of hope for you. Being with him, that hope is that we can, here's the hope. God's plan becomes my reality. Here's the hope that I know that when I trust God, that's where my faith lives. I want to end with this. God is a God of the impossible. Seems impossible that the creator of the universe could squeeze himself into a helpless baby and put himself in the hands of his own creation. And a wonderful mother and father, most theologians believe Jesus' father died when Jesus was a young man, a boy even, raised by his mother, had other brothers and sisters. And then, by the very creation that he spoke into being, mistreated, abused, falsely accused, crucified. Why? Because he knows us. He knows what the curse of sin does to each of us, whether it's our own sin or those that sin against us, the hurt, the pain, the curse that it brings. But Christmas is about Jesus showing up and changing all of that so that we live in a place of hope, a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of love, a place of life. Because God's a God of the impossible, and he has a place and a home for you. Maybe you feel like you didn't get the invitation. Well, I'm here to tell you that you have. And maybe today you're realizing that God has a place for you, and it's the first time you're realizing God has a place for you. He has a family for you. He has a purpose for you. Maybe the light bulb's going on about who Jesus really is and that God loves you. And he came to this earth so that you could have a place and a purpose with him. And if that's you, I want to pray with you. Just pray a simple prayer. Let's say, Jesus, I believe that you know me, that you love me, that you have a place for me. I believe you forgive me for my sins. That's why you died on the cross, to pay the price for my sin. And Jesus, I give my life to you. Listen, if that was you, I want to pray with you. I want to connect with you. I want to connect you with relationships and resources that can help you grow. Because the prayer that you just prayed isn't the end of your faith journey. It's the very beginning. And God has great things in store for you as you follow him. So click on the link in the chat box underneath. Connect with us so we can help you grow in your walk with him. See you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.